I'll be your host, Bree. We wanted to switch it up a little bit. So typically I'm behind the camera, but I was pushed to the front today. We bless God anyway. But on today, we did want to talk about the importance of community. So we know that when you say yes to God, we understand that that's not an easy gesture at all. The journey is not going to be easy, but it's worth it. But one thing that definitely helps is your community, your village of people, your friends, your loved ones, those that can be a support to you to provide wisdom, encouragement, to help you along. So we want to bring forth or highlight the understanding that community is important. But before I get ahead of myself, I do have two special guests as well. We're all a part of a Bible study in which I won't overtalk. I'll let them go ahead and introduce themselves.
As Bree said, we are a part of a Bible study or community called BFR. I'm Deja, the co-founder with these lovely ladies. And, yeah.
Okay, and my name is Nisi, also a co-founder of BFR. And we're excited to share our journey together, our journey with, you know, sharing our life, what we do in the community, and just motivating and encouraging each other to be our best selves and praise God in the process.
Amen. So the first thing we'll get into a little bit is how we all met. So essentially, this is going to be the middle piece of the puzzle or the glue. So on my end, I met her actually through her husband. Mm-hmm. So we have a mutual friend whom we played a game with, and that's been going for about 5 years. And so initially it went from me just hearing her in the background, and maybe like a year or so after, we actually mm-hmm. met each other, which I also found funny that even before we met each other, we were in close proximity because we were both working at the same job, mm-hmm. just one floor from each other, but again, had not met, which I always said was a testimony how sometimes God places you in proximity to those, mm-hmm. though you may not connect with them yet, you just don't even know who you may be connected to. So that's one thing to be mindful of. But from there, I met her officially maybe 2021, mm-hmm. and from there we just clicked, and here we are.
I believe my story is very similar. I met Deja through a mutual friend who was a cousin of Deja's. Deja and I also worked together, but I did not know Deja. She was on a different team, different department, and through that mutual friend, she started to have events at her house, and Deja came. And we started to talk. And whenever we talked, I was like, I have a lot in common with this mm-hmm. girl. And it was just some type of draw. And I was like, I want to talk to her. I feel like I really want to get to know her. I really want her in my circle. But I could not explain it. It was almost like a God thing. You know how he puts people in your life and you just feel a draw. And it's like, okay, let me get to know this person. Okay. That was probably about 6 years ago. I know. About 6 years ago, and just from that relationship and spending time together, mm-hmm. somehow we ended up connecting with each other. You may be able to better explain that, because I don't even know how it happened.
So, those are their sides of the story. Let me say this. Get you a husband. Or, let me back up. Wait till the Lord bring you your husband.
And we bless the Lord.
Yes. I met both of them through my husband. So I met her because, again, she said that her and my husband game, and he had a coworker that they were all on the game together. I met her, the mutual friend we had is my husband's first cousin. Wait till the Lord bring you your husband, because it's blessings with that husband, okay? And with each of them, I didn't go into it with the idea of, oh, we're going to be best friends forever, this. It's just, we just clicked. And you will meet people in your life that God will bring you, and you will just click. The people that I grew up with that I call friend, even with them too, and God removing some of them, I think I only may have one of the four or five that I had left, but God brought me these two. And you would think that we've known each other way longer than we actually have.
Right. Forever.
believe it's been 6 years. We've been friends. It's 2025. That's 4 years.
Yep.
It don't even seem like it's been that long.
It really don't. Shout out to Deacon Williams for bringing us together.
Very much so.
He's going to be mad about that. Anywho, moving right along. So before we get into talking about our Bible study together, I did want to talk about our personal journeys and how we kind of came into the Lord and, you know, gave that yes. So y'all want to start? Somebody wanna start?
I'm a runner. I'm a track star. I'll say for me, I ran for a long time. Mm-hmm. This was never anything that I saw myself doing, from having a Bible study, leading a Bible study, or even being as passionate as I am about talking about Jesus. Never in a million years would have thought that at 36, that's what I would, you know, love to do. When people ask me, well, what do you like to do, or what's your passion, and I can do a lot of things, but when I start talking about Jesus, it's just like something comes alive in me. Whereas before, because don't get it twisted, I was not always like this. I was out there in them streets, okay? But I just did not see this for myself, and that just goes to show you that God's plan and his vision for your life is so much greater than what you can see in that moment. I've had lows, I've had highs, but I just never saw this. And even now, still elevating, still growing. And I just know there's more to come, but I can see this.
I guess for me, I was a minister's kid. I'm a PK. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in the church. I was taught all of the things. And when you grow up in the church, you tend to feel like you're missing out on something as a child. It's like you're constantly being told of all the things you shouldn't do. But it's like, you did it. I didn't get to experience that. I don't know what I'm being held from. So once I turned 21, I decided I wanted to venture off and see what it was really like out there. And I see what my parents were trying to shield me from. I had to undergo a lot of the hurts, a lot of the pain that was unnecessary. When I would have stuck to the path, I would have been a lot further. And even with you guys being with me, and when I've gotten certain prophecies and they said I was like behind time, and it's because I used time that I could have been advancing the ministry, advancing my life, even in my relationship with Christ, but I spent it trying to figure out who I was without him. Not realizing that I was really created to be rooted in him. So now here I am. It's still a journey. I'm not perfect. I'm striving to be better every day. And the closer I get to God, the more I realize that even in my imperfections, that I continuously draw people unto me, that he draws people to me so I can tell my story. I'm not ashamed of what I've been through. And I realize that my testimony is what some people need to hear. You know, develop their relationship with God, too.
Amen. Okay. Look at that. Why don't you do it? All right. So, for me, I was definitely a runner. I was definitely in the streets. Very unfortunate. But we bless God. I was definitely one of the ones that was comfortable sitting in the back. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm cool. Don't call me up here. I ain't got to be nobody's nothing. I'm just cool with coming in the church and just being there. And one of the things I did love is that my parents have raised me in the church all my life. So it really, through my journey, the scripture where it says, you know, bring up a child. Mm-hmm. When you bring them up in that word, they may stray. They may, you know, do those things, because you do have to find yourself, or you do have to figure life out in a sense. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you don't know that you need God until you know that you need God. So sometimes situations come to let you know, hey, this ain't for me. So what I also bless God for is having pastors that can truly see. And when it came down to it, I could only sit in the back for so long before they were like, come on up, y'all. We're going to start you off with prayer. We're going to start you off with prayer, but you got to do the work. So it started off with prayer, and it was so embarrassing at first because I'm like, I don't know what to say. And it went from I could only pray maybe 5 minutes. But now,
let's pray you down.
Now, they have to come and get the mic from me. You hear me? But through that, I always look back, and I'm so grateful because through that, I'm able to look and see my own growth. Mm-hmm. I'm able to see that God has changed me, and that's one of the important things as well, because sometimes we feel like we have to change ourselves, or mm-hmm. we have to change other people, or before I give God an answer, let me clean this up. But it's mm-hmm. like, no, you come to him first, and as you journey towards him, he'll strip off the things that are not like him or not pleasing, mm-hmm. and he won't do it in no condemnation. He won't do it in a judgment kind of way, but as Niecy was saying, that's your testimony to say, hey, I can relate to you because mm-hmm. I used to do this certain thing or I used to do that certain thing, but now you can see that there's a change. Now right. people can see where I used to act a fool or be out here. They can see that, all right, she not as foul mouthed as she used to be. What's different? Mm-hmm. She not as crazy as she used to be. What's going on? It's and the Lord. For sure. But in that journey, that I was definitely one of the ones that God had to like forcefully pull on up to the mm-hmm. front because mm-hmm. I wasn't willing to do it on my own. But from seeing the growth in my life, and as they were saying, it's still a journey. Mm-hmm. You're still going to make mistakes. You're still going to mess up. But it don't let it stop you from continuing to go in. Yeah. Sometimes we do face those challenges, but the rewards that you receive from the Lord, as long as you remain faithful,
far exceed anything you could ever think about, imagine, dream about.
Yeah.
And something that's interesting, because you said this, but all of us grew up in the church, and all of us went our own separate ways. But yeah. all of us came back.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. And I think even though there's a lot of things that we could have avoided if we had stayed on the right path, on God's path, there's also a lot of ways that we grew. There's a lot of challenges that we grew through. It built our character for who mm-hmm. we are today. Mm-hmm. It made us stronger. So even though we went outside, we were still covered by the grace of God. Somebody was still out here praying for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Huh? So it, even though it happened, God still kept us so that, and I believe it's like he knew that we would get to this place mm-hmm. so that we could go back and teach or preach or encourage or pray or do whatever it is that he has called us to do when he knew us before he formed us, huh?
Mm.
All right.
You better.
I'm just
saying. All right now.
All right. My bad.
But I also think, in addition to what you both have said, it makes us more relatable.
It does.
I believe that when you grow up in the church and people look at you like, oh, that's just a church girl.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really want to hear nothing mm-hmm. she has to say. She doesn't know what it's like. She doesn't know what it's like to walk in my shoes. She hasn't been through nothing. But it's like, no, wait a minute.
Right.
I've been there. I know what those scars feel like. Ooh. I have those same scars. And if it wasn't for God,
girl,
I wouldn't be able to make it through. Because it's been some times that I didn't want to make it through. So it makes us relatable. We actually mm-hmm. have, like you said, a testimony. We have something that we can share to others to help to draw them in. You're not out there by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You are not the only person that's been through that path that you've gone through. And sometimes it's just good to know that, hey, you know what? The enemy has a way to make you feel like you're alone.
He tries to isolate you
so that you can condemn yourself. And it's like, well, what's the point? God can't use me. I'm too messed up. No, you are not. God uses people with imperfections. Those mm-hmm. are the people that he calls. So it's necessary.
Baby.
Come on.
Okay, I'm good.
My old pastor used to say, and when I was younger, I didn't understand, but he used to say everybody used to be an ex something. Everybody came from somewhere. Just because you see somebody now, you're coming into the chapter of their life of where they are now. But if you go back to some of those chapters that they don't want you to sing, because we done all lived and been in places and spaces that we don't really want people to know about, but if you knew where they had come from, you wouldn't believe the person that they are today. And I think each of us can testify that where we are now is not where we started.
Jesus. But yeah, so the biggest thing is that's also why community is important, because you have people that are relatable, people that can pray for you, pray with you, people that understand, you know what I'm saying, to say, hey, I understand. I know you're going through. I know right now you have doubts going on. Hey, I know this may be a weight. Let me help you out. Let's carry this together. Because, again, it helps you on the journey. It helps to be able to just vent and not be judged. Mm-hmm. It helps to be able to talk about the thing and not feel like, oh, no, I don't know if they're going to go and tell this person, or they're going to make me go and stand in front of a church or anything. And
let's be real.
You know, and the thing about it is we have to be support one to another. Mm-hmm. We're supposed to be helpers. We're all part of one body. The journey, the goal is to lead others to Christ. Mm-hmm. And to do that, they have to see us being in community. They have to see us being able to, even if there's any friction, be able to go back to that brother or sister and apologize or make things right. Mm-hmm. Because we are, again, nobody is perfect but Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So we have to have that understanding that community is important. Sometimes it may feel better to isolate. And sometimes it may feel like nobody understands, nobody gets it, but assuredly, somebody gets it. Somebody understands, and more than anything, pray about it. Mm-hmm. If you're feeling alone, ask God to surround you with the people that have genuine interest, the people that has godly wisdom, because this is a product of my prayers. Mm-hmm. So I know what I'm talking about. But, and even then, just as a quick testimony as well, I have my other best friends as well. One I was talking to earlier, she was painting in her house and was talking about how she was listening to the Bible. I have another friend that she used to be bisexual. And now I'm looking at how we're able to discuss the word together. We're able to talk about God, and I'm witnessing the change in her life as well as the others. So again, community is very important when you're able to love each other the way that Christ loves us, forgive each other the way that we want God to forgive us, and just be a covering, because again, we don't have the answers. So we don't have to struggle. We don't have to carry the weights alone. You just find, let God lead you to your people. And I promise you, it is worth it.
Because I think what you said, let God lead you to your people. Oftentimes we go out and we find our own community without consulting God about who we're supposed to be with, where we're supposed to be. And we end up feeling stuck. We end up feeling like we're by ourselves, like you're there. It's like, I'm here. I don't really fit in, but I don't really fit in over there. You can't quite find your place. And if you let God lead you, he will bring you the people. It may be people that you wouldn't have even thought about. Because even with us, if you just look at us three individually and you try to put us together, it don't really make sense. You're like, well, how does this fit? Because we're different ages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, well, this don't make sense. But when God does something for whatever reason, even though it doesn't make sense to the outside world, when he's in it, it always makes sense. But I think it's also important to know what you're getting when you are in community. And I think fear keeps people out of community.
Mm-hmm.
I think people are just afraid because, again, if you're not letting God lead you, you're with people, you're afraid to be vulnerable because are they going to use this against me? Are they going to go out and backbite and tell somebody my business? They're going to be gossiping about me, because if we're honest, that's a real thing. Mm-hmm. Not just, you know, at school or at your job. People are messy in the church, if we want to be honest about it. All right. I'm just saying. It's not all churches. It's not all churches, But unfortunately, there are some out there, and with anything, whether it's men, women, and it's organizations, one bad apple will spoil the bunch. So you hear one bad thing, and you immediately will categorize all Christians or all men or all women. It's not like that, but you do have to be careful on where you choose to be. An important thing with community, I think, is accountability. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to be held accountable. I'm going to be real. I ain't want to be held accountable. Please don't call me out. Please don't. Just let me be, okay? But if I let you be, you won't grow.
That part.
Being accountable, and this is something that I have learned because my own apostle and my own church, they pushed me. I was not always like this. But being accountable pushes you into growth. You can't stay where you are. The only constant thing in this life is change, mm-hmm. and the Lord. Mm. But the Lord don't change. Mm. All right. But life will continue to change. You'll find yourself in different seasons, different circumstances, and you have to be able to grow through that. You have to be able to know that the Lord is there for you and that he's going to get you through it, but also be accountable to what? To someone, your friends, your community, your pastor, your apostle, and doing what's right, having integrity.
That part.
It's some of it is basic. We just don't apply it to the church. Mm-hmm. But there's a standard for Christianity.
It is.
It's not just for those who are in leadership or those who have titles or what have you. It's not just for your prophets and your past. It's for everybody. There is a standard. Yes, teachers are going to be judged at a different level, but there is still a standard for Christianity that everybody, every Christian, everybody who recognizes themselves and calls themselves by his name, there's a standard that we must meet. And in order to uphold that standard, you have to be accountable. You have to be willing to learn. You have to be willing to grow. You have to be willing to be in faith, because without faith, you can't please him.
Surely mm-hmm. can't.
And you have to walk in obedience. Mm-hmm. And who's going to hold you to that if you don't have anybody to be accountable to?
That part. But even when you talk about accountability, I think about love. And it's tough love.
That's mm-hmm.
God holds us accountable because he loves us. He pushes us because we need to grow. And so I think that growth is what you're seeing here. Like with mm-hmm. this group of ladies, I believe we talked about it before, but I've never had a group of friends that we can talk mm-hmm. like we talk.
Yeah.
We literally talk every day. We can talk about what's going on at work. We can talk about what's going on in the world.
Yep.
We can talk about what God is dealing with us with. Mm-hmm. We can talk about our struggles. And it's like, ooh, I've been through that. You want me to pray for you? It's been times that I've been in tears. And mm-hmm. it's like, hey, we need to have a prayer call real quick.
Fact.
Like, I've never had a group of friends that I could talk about God with that will pray for me, that see things that I don't always see for myself. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of times we're used to backbiting in relationships.
Yeah.
We're used to people that I want to be up here, but I don't want them to be mm-hmm. too, you know, mm-hmm. it's a competition between. Mm-hmm. It's not a competition. It's like somebody that loves you so much that they're pushing you. I want you to be your best self, Bree.
That
I want
part.
You to be your best self, Deja. Mm-hmm. I want God to be pleased with you. I want to see what you can do in this community. Mm-hmm. I want to see how you touch the lives of others. Like, I see bigger.
Yeah.
I see better. I see greater. And it's so amazing to be part of a group of women that want to see better in their friends, that want to see us be the best that we can be. And that's what I want to see in our communities. I want to mm-hmm. see other people have relationships where they can reach out, reach one, teach one.
Uh-huh.
I think sometimes, as much as, you know, we don't want to have the spotlight on us, sometimes mm-hmm. we need to be that example, because a lot of people that have the spotlight are saying all the things that are not the right things. And people are listening to those voices. Those voices are loud and wrong. And sometimes mm-hmm. you need to have a different voice to tell you, baby, that's not it.
That's not it.
This is not the way. Let me just tell you about a different way. Let me tell you about a different path. Let me tell you about God's love. Let me tell you about his path. Hey, you may not be ready to act on it right now, but just think about it. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's about planting that seed. You just never know how God is going to nurture that seed. Sometimes it's covered, it's buried, but eventually it starts to grow. It's a little seedling. It takes some time, but it starts to blossom. So it's all about planting those good seeds, and you just never know what the community will look like if mm-hmm. we do our part mm-hmm. to touch others.
So yes, again, as you're seeing, community is very much important, especially with being accountable and also being loving, because even when you're not a believer, you don't want to be surrounded by a bunch of yes men, people that's just going to tell you, yeah, that's cool, that sounds good, because when you really look at the people that were, how their life really started to go downhill and how they faced destruction and how they even became unrecognizable because nobody saw them. Nobody saw the struggle they were going through. Nobody prayed with them. Nobody interceded on their behalf to say, hey, this is not a good idea, but I can't stop you, but I know who can help you. I know who can intervene on the, you know, on the situation. So it's very important whether, you know, whether you're a believer or whether you're a new believer or wherever you are in your journey to, again, allow God to lead you to your people, because they'll be the ones that, it ain't gonna always feel good. Correction don't feel good.
It does not.
But as they were saying, it's for your growth. Mm-hmm. We're not here to remain the same and just continue life as over and over, day by day, doing the same things over and over and getting nowhere. Mm-hmm. Like, at some point, you have to take a minute or to try to figure out, what do I want my legacy to be? What is it that when I leave this earth, can people say that I was loving? Can people say I truly loved the Lord? Can people really see that the glory of the Lord on my life? Ooh. Was my walk enough that I was able to change the person that may never have spoken to me, but because they saw me, because they saw how I treated others, because they saw how I remained in character, that made them want to say, who is your God? Because that's who I want to serve. With somebody that may have saw me when I was lost, when I was out in my lustful ways, when I was out crashing out, doing stuff, I ain't got no business. We'll talk about that another time. But somebody that saw that then, just as they were saying that then, and came in to see the new chapter to say, I remember when you was acting a fool. I need to know what's going on. I need to see, there's a light about you now. There's not the dark, because again, when we receive Christ, we receive that light. He leads and guides us that we can be lights to others to bring them out of darkness. Because just as they were saying, there's so many people out now that's just saying things just so they can please the people, just so they can build their churches and all these different things. But it's not of God. And we have to get to a point that we can't just go by what tickles our ear or make us feel comfortable in our sin. It, like they said, it's a standard. Mm-hmm. And when God leads you to your people, he'll have you with people that you can be accountable to. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes one of the biggest ways to come out of a situation or even out of your sin is to talk about it.
Yeah.
To be able to have
confess
safe space.
That.
Confess your faults one to another. Mm-hmm. Amen. But you have that safe space where you can really lay your heart out on the table. Mm-hmm. And have that understanding that I don't know what I need to do, but you have the people that they're not going to tell you that it's okay for you to continue in sin, but they're going to say it's okay to not have the right answer, but we're going to pray together. We're going to wait for the Lord to bring forth the deliverance, the breakthrough, or whatever that is needed. So again, that's one of the biggest reasons why community is important. Having the right people around is very important to your journey in general. Because, again, it's nice to be able to look back and see your growth. It's nice to be able to have friends that, like they were saying, they're multifaceted. We can go out and we don't have to even drink.
Nope.
We'll be out somewhere running our mouth.
Kiki.
All day. But still enjoying each other's company and being able to, like they were saying, have conversations that it may not be about Jesus all the time, but we not going to go too far. Mm-hmm. So we still going to be to that standard. But as they were saying, you can still live for Christ and have a fulfilling life. You can have fun. We go out, we brunch. That's our thing.
What?
A good little game.
Because one thing we going to do is eat.
You hear me?
We going to eat and we going to laugh.
That part. Mm-hmm. So we have our moments where it don't matter the setting, but we're still able to be able to talk. We're able to talk about, like they were saying, things that's going on in our community, things that's going on in the world, and things, but it don't stop there. We talk about it, but we also pray about it. Mm-hmm. We pray together. We be in community. We hold each other accountable. So if a word comes and it's thus said the Lord, they be tearing me up, y'all. Let me let you know. They be tearing me up in the group chat. But we bless the Lord for it because, again, you don't want to walk in error. Right. So it's nice to have people that if they see you straying or if the Lord is sending a word that needs mm-hmm. to get to you, they're obedient vessels. So, again, isolation may seem cool and you may feel like nobody can ever relate. But trust me, there are people out there that will be in community with you mm-hmm. that loves God for real and loves his people for real. But before we go any further, we'll kind of segue into BFR, how our Bible study group came. Because this one here, it started with this one. I feel like everything starts with this one here.
Probably, child. Well, again, wait for the Lord to bring you your husband, okay? What's funny is I started that, what was that, 2021?
It was after the pandemic.
It was after 22. The pandemic. It's been like 3 years. So 22?
23?
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. Yeah. So at the beginning of the year, I don't know, I just felt like we laugh and we joke, we have a good time, but I felt like we needed to include the Lord. I feel like if you can do everything else, each of us know God, each of us have a relationship with God, why are we not including him? Mm-hmm. Whether it's in our daily life, and if it's together, because he's here anyway, mm-hmm. let's invite him in. And so, I think I mentioned it to you. I think you were the only one I said, I think I'm thinking about doing a Bible study, but I don't know. And shortly after that, me and my husband were talking on the phone. And he says, you should do a Bible study. First of all, sir, who asked you that? Where did you come from with this? It was very random. And I had not told him anything about it, anything about me having the desire or it just being a thought, an idea, nothing. So I took that as a confirmation from God, like, I'm supposed to do this thing. And so I brought it to them, and they were like, okay. And from there, we decided on a name. Well, somewhat. We had to change some things.
Definitely had to change things, but we bless God.
Bless the Lord. But we decided on BFR, and BFR stands for Be For Real. One thing that we have noticed is, and I think, I don't know if it's, I feel like in the church, but in any organization, whether even at your job or at school or wherever you are, there's a lot of code switching. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are wearing masks. Mm-hmm. And there are, and especially in this day and time, it's not a season to be playing with the Lord. Mm-mm. And you have so many false prophets and false teachers and so much bad doctrine. There's so much happening. Somebody needs to be for real. Somebody needs to be transparent. Somebody needs to be vulnerable and tell you what this thing actually is and what it looks like. Because I think we have such the view that people have of Christians or of leadership is very skewed. Mm-hmm. And you need fresh voices sometimes to come out and just be honest and transparent and just to open up and just have conversation of different ideas, different principles, and just the word of God and just breaking it down and just having a conversation about it. And that's basically what we do. We get together like once a week and we'll talk about, it might be a post that we saw on social media, or it could be an idea. It could be something specific, like a chapter. We went through the book of Matthew and we would go each chapter by chapter. We would read a certain amount of chapters. And sometimes, a lot of times, we wouldn't get through. We would have to go and wait until the following week. But we learned so much in doing that together. I feel like the lessons tend to stick a little bit more when you're not by yourself, but when you have people with you, because you may have a perspective of a thing and you may have an interpretation of the thing because the Lord has given you a revelation. He will give this other people the same revelation, but give it to them in a perspective that they understand. And then y'all get together and you get all the perspectives and you put the puzzle together and you see the big picture. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important to be able to do that.
That was great.
I'm
so weak.
I don't have anything to add.
I mean, but that's what we, that's, this is what we do on the regular basis.
That's it, child.
But that's pretty much what we do. We've invited people to join. It's, you know, we post, repost her daily devotionals. They are really good, and yeah. Sometimes they slap you in the back of the head. But
always nice. Slap you in the back
yeah,
of the head.
Yeah, snatch your edges, you know. But we bless God for it.
Amen. Yeah. But, yeah, so at this point, it just, with how it came together, it was like, nobody but God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really showed how three random people, three random walks of life,
yep.
Very much in different areas of our yep. lives and different transitions were put together and built a friendship that also turned into something that glorified God.
Yeah.
So that's also one of the things that is very important. We have to look at, does my life glorify God?
Mm-hmm.
Do the things I do glorify God? Is the things I'm thinking or talking about, is it pleasing? Because
mm-hmm.
we have to also get away from just regular conversations or just talking about mess and, you know, further feeding into all the negativity in the world. We got more than enough of that going on.
Indeed.
So it really became very important that even when she brought up the idea, I didn't know it was going to get to him while I was like, yeah, girl, that'll be a wonderful idea. That is awesome. Yes.
I think it's one Holy Spirit, though. And we talk about
right.
that all the
mm-hmm.
time because I believe when you sent the text to me, I was already feeling like I need to be talking about God more. Like I was looking
mm-hmm.
for a community. And it was like when I had that desire, here comes God, slapping it right in my phone.
Here you go.
This girl right here, like, hey, what you think about Bible study? I was like, yes, girl, I was just thinking about that. We need to do that. That's awesome. And we opened it up to other people, and
indeed.
It's still open to
mm-hmm.
other people. You know, Bree, when you post your the scriptures and Bible study and the postings online, I've had some of them reach out to me, and they're like, I still read those. You know, I still appreciate those. We have, like,
we be having church prayer text messages.
We do.
Literally.
But the prayers, like, we have a prayer list, and
yes.
it's like
mm-hmm.
crazy how
it
God just
updated.
Brings it does, and it's crazy how God brings people into your life, because I'll just be at work or at the grocery store, and somebody will strike up a conversation about God, and it's like, was my light shining? You know, it's like, hey, what church do you go to? Hey, what do you think about this? Or even some, you know, people
mm-hmm.
I work with, they be like, you know, this is going on in my life. And they tell me their whole life
mm-hmm.
story. And I'm
mm-hmm.
like, I'm going to pray for you. And it's almost like they knew that they can come to me for that prayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, one of my prayers has been to be a light for others to
mm-hmm.
see God. If we may be the only light of God that some people see.
That's
and
true.
I want to make sure that I'm representing God the best way that I can.
Mm-hmm.
So if I change that, if through God, he's able to change one person because they were able to see love in me.
Mm-hmm.
They were able to see compassion. Like, in this generation, we've heard about so many people that have taken their lives because
mm-hmm.
they didn't feel seen.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't feel appreciated. They didn't feel valued. But God values us.
Mm-hmm.
He values our lives. Each one of us means something. We are important. And I think sometimes people need to hear that.
They do.
So
they do.
I think that's what the beauty of community is
mm-hmm.
because it allows us to let people know that may feel like they've been forsaken, that nobody cares, nobody loves them. God loves you. And I love
that's
you.
Good.
And I want the best for you. And I'm going to push you to be your best. If you want me to be your accountability partner, let me know. And I'll do it. And that's what we do for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something good that people can aspire to know that there's someone that they can also have that same relationship with. And God will deal with you
mm-hmm.
through your friends. He
and
will.
Will. And will. And I think that's good what you said. Because I, in my church community, before we formed this community, I was one of those people who I didn't feel worthy. I felt ashamed because of my past things. I didn't feel like, and I knew God had been calling me, but sir, you can't mean me. Anybody but me. Because first of all, I play too much and I'm so unserious. But also, and I think people do this, we are our own worst critics. Sometimes the enemy ain't your haters on the outside. The enemy is your inner me. Sometimes we're our issue and we're in the way. And for me, that was very true until I became a part of my church community and I had people to speak life into me. And then we created this community and I had these ladies to further to basically confirm and reassure and to also add that on from what I was already getting. So it allowed me to, one, believe the word of God, and two, to come into acceptance of what he has said about me.
Yes.
Because I have people backing it up continually along with the work that I'm already doing in reading my own word, and praying, and fasting, and letting God deal with me. And sometimes I think people have this idea of God dealing with you as in some big dramatic way. It's not always like that. Sometimes it's a small way. Sometimes it's somebody in the grocery store just saying one small word to you, or you with your friends and somebody say something, or I was asking the Lord about creating content. And I said, Lord, I apologize because I talked to everybody else but you about this thing. Let me come talk to you first. Before I really try to, out here trying to make decisions about what I'm about to do with my life, because it's not mine, it's yours, right? And even in that, I was praying one day and I'm just walking and talking. And then I go to church that night and we start talking about it and I got a confirmation of the thing. And I was like, oh. But that's what community can do for you. And you're really, you miss out a lot. And not to say that you have to have community to have a relationship with God, but I think it makes your relationship with him stronger.
Definitely.
I think you get so much more because they bring different perspectives, they bring different ideas, and you are able to build trust with your community so that you can be vulnerable. And when you're in those vulnerable places, number one, God can meet you there because that's where he's strong in your weakness. But also it allows you to be free and for other people to pour into you for you to get what you need.
That's facts. It just as I was speaking, it also made me think about in the Bible where it talked about the three men that their friend needed a healing. And Jesus was teaching and the friend couldn't do anything on his own.
Friend didn't even say nothing.
And they carried him. And because they couldn't even get in through the front door, they was like, we finna tear this roof off because our friend need a healing. So that's also the beautiful thing about community. You have people that when you can't go to God yourself,
they'll go for
you. When you feel like you're so low, when you're just down, you're destroying, or whatever the situation is, you have other people that's like, my brother, my sister is in trouble. We got to go to the Lord.
Yes.
We got to get them to the Lord because the soul is at stake.
Mm-hmm.
Because behind the people is the soul.
Right.
The behind the human, the body, the flesh, is the soul. And that's the biggest and most important thing, because we may look at whatever the situation may be. We may look at people and get upset with the things that they do. But at the end of the day, there's still a soul. Sometimes, even in community, again, there's friction. Sometimes you don't always get along. And that goes with anything. You don't always get along with family. You don't always get along with friends. You don't always get along with your romantic partners. But through God, he teaches us, even in those moments, how to come back, how to be loving, how to be forgiving. And when it comes down to it, you're able to put yourself aside to say, this person needs help. This person needs love. This person needs some kind of covering. So even when they were speaking, it made me think of that, to where they stopped at nothing. They didn't just look at, oh, it's full, it's packed out, we ain't even gonna get in. They was like, we're gonna climb up here. We're gonna break some things open.
We're gonna make a way.
We're gonna I can imagine them yelling like, Jesus, Jesus, somebody help, somebody help. But because it's packed in there,
it's loud. Folks
it's
talking.
Loud. He teaching, you know. So he busy.
Hey, y'all keep quiet.
And they're like, listen to. They're like, oh no, it don't stop here.
Yeah,
we're gonna climb up something.
Like, oh yeah,
we're gonna get up in. But again, just to highlight, that was that again, that's one of the most important things about community. Just having people that will hold you accountable, but will be there for you, that when you can't, when you feel like you can't get to God yourself, because we can always get to God, but when you feel like you just, you can't, you just can't even figure out the words to say, you just feel like you're so distraught, you feel like your life is just so messed up, you feel like I've gone too far, I can't, I ain't in no way God will accept me, you have people that will come around and they'll see that on you, because sometimes, especially when you one that likes to be the strong person, sometimes you'll put on a mask and you'll say everything is okay, you'll smile and you'll pretend that nothing is beating you down, nothing is on your shoulders, and it feels good.
Heavy.
You hear me? You it feels good to present like you superhuman, but with community, when you have people that love you for real, that know you for real, and that has discernment,
they can see through that mask.
Gotta let them know. Go back and ask them again if they okay. Don't call this time. Just show up.
Just show up.
Just go over there and see what they got going on. He'll lead and guide those to you that even when you try to isolate, even when you try to be like, well, I don't want to be around nobody because everybody's used to me being the one that's put together. Everybody's used to me being the strong one. I'm the one everybody else come to.
Yeah.
So God recognizes that and it's like, you don't carry this alone. I put you in a place, I've surrounded you by these people. So when it's your turn, when it's your time that you need a little refreshing, you need a little
need
breath.
He
gonna send that community. He's gonna send those people to love on you, to nurse you back to health, to take you back to God, to remind you of the scripture, to remind you of God's promises, to remind you of God's love, so that when you come out of the situation, you don't have to continue pretending. You can lay that mask down, just as she was saying. You don't have to put that mask on. You don't have to put that fake face on. You don't have to pretend like you anything but a servant of God that needs help in that very moment. So
I think with that, though, I think the person seeking community, you have to be willing. You have to be willing to be obedient, but also willing to lay down your pride. Because pride will keep us out of some things that we need, but we're so prideful. And pride isn't just you being arrogant or you being cocky. It's, I need help, but I don't want to ask for help. I'm the person that usually help. How it look for me to go ask somebody for help when I am the help? Pride will have you sometimes thinking, Lord, how I'm going to do all of this? I'm just one person. And he's like, well, I got people over here. You ain't the only one. Like Elijah thought he was the only one dealing with them false prophets. And the Lord was like, I got prophets over in the cave. You ain't by yourself. What are you talking about? Like, chill, bro. So I think it's important for us as individuals to be willing to lay stuff down so that we can receive. You can't receive if you are all blocked up and you are all wrapped up in other things and God is trying to give you something, but you're not able to receive it. You gotta come with your hands open. Not open to, you know, you're trying to work it and you're trying to climb, but open to receive, ready for whatever it is that God has for you. You can't be in a place where you're trying to figure it out and trying to remain in control. Like, Lord, I want you to be in control. I want you in the car, but you sit on the passenger side. I'm going to drive. That's not how this works. You have to be willing to get out of the car, ride in the back seat, ride on the trunk, ride on top of the car if you got to, wherever the Lord going. As Moses said, wherever your presence go, that's where I'm going to go. Yeah. If your presence ain't going, I'm not going. But we have to be in a place where we can receive so that we can be in these communities that we say we want to be in. Because a lot of times we say stuff, but when it comes time to do the work that is required to be a part of these things, we don't really want to do that.
See, and while you were talking, all I heard was surrender. And I think part of how we even got to this point was making a decision like, God, I've tried it my way. I just want to do it your way. No matter where you take me, wherever you're leading, even when I'm afraid, even when I think I don't want to go, that's too left, Lord, or I just don't feel worthy, or no, surrender, and just know that he has your best, he has the best in store for you. I mean, just think about the things that we want. and know that God is going to do, we say, exceedingly and abundantly and greater than everything we can ask, think, or imagine. Yep. I want that.
Period.
I want that. He knows what's best. So mm-hmm. why are we still trying to hold on to our way, knowing that it's a better way out there? Just stop. You have to be at the, but eventually you got to get to that point.
Yep.
And I think that's what happens.
It's a desperation.
It
it's
is.
A point of desperation.
It's like, I tried it. I'm lost. I'm done. I give it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all got to that point that it's like, God is yours.
And let's be clear, it's a daily.
Yes, it's a consistent. Snatch me back. You're like, Lord, it's yours. I mean, but I got this part.
Right.
You know? You got to keep giving it to him. You have
like,
to trust. I'm going to
give you, you can have the 70. I'm going to keep the 30. Like, and it's just like, no, ma'am, 100%. It's a daily decision and a daily choice to surrender. And sometimes you will find yourself in those moments where it's like, now how did I get all of this back? And he's like, all right, let me give it back. You have to consistently, like, keep saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to give it to you. And he's a gentleman. He's not going to snatch it. He's not going to take it. He's given us free will.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to wait for you to invite him in. He
mm-hmm.
says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He don't just walk in. He wait for you to open the door and to invite him in so he can come in and sup with you.
Okay, so before we wrap it up, because I feel like we really touched on a broad spectrum and really brought a lot of good points about community. One of the things, as they were both talking about, was surrenderance. So what that could look like is different for every person,
mm-hmm.
but the goal in mind is to completely let go of whatever the situation is, to really get to a point that, not my will, Lord, but yours.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like if you're on a journey and you're wanting to be married, not going from person to person and saying, this might be my husband, this might be my husband, this might be who this is, or this might be my wife finally. But partnering with the Lord to say, Lord, you know what's best for me. You know what it is that I want, and you have that perfect person that's for me. So instead of me trying to go to and fro looking for the person, I'll be patient. And
mm-hmm.
in my waiting, I'm still going to praise you and rejoice you
mm-hmm.
because I know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
So that means taking my hands off the situation. So it may look like, you may have a situation where you're in a career and you're in a place that you don't really want to be. You know, you feel like you're more than, you feel like this just ain't where destiny is.
Mm-hmm.
But instead of you going on Indeed on them people computers at that job, instead of going on Indeed and ZipRecruiter and all these things, it looks again like, Lord, I'm waiting on you.
Mm-hmm.
And even for me in that journey, it looks like I was preparing.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I was at a job and everybody was decorating their desk and everything and stuff like that. And I was like, I thought about it, but I was like, this isn't where I know God wants me to be. So let me take this stuff down. I'm coming in, but as I'm going in, I'm not going with the motive of, oh my gosh, being upset or being mad at God about where I am, but being in preparation, saying, hey, let me work on whatever skills I need. Let me see what it is that
mm-hmm.
while I'm here I need to learn, or what lesson
mm-hmm.
or what person he
That's
may be
good.
Trying to connect me to while I'm here
mm-hmm.
so that when that time does come, he'll lead me on up out of that place. And that's exactly what
mm-hmm.
he did. But it got to a place that I had to be at peace. I had to be where I prayed about it and had to really be sincere to say, Lord, this is a struggle for me. This
mm-hmm.
is a place where I'm not happy. Sometimes I'm mentally drained, but I'm standing on your promise. So whatever
mm-hmm.
you lead me to do, that's exactly what I'll do. But if you don't guide my steps, if you tell me where not to go, then I'm not, even if you're silent in this moment, I'm going to take that as a sign that it's not yet time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be patient and I'm going to sit still. We have to learn how to sit still. Give everything to God. Lay it at his feet.
Yes.
He knows whatever the struggle is. He knows whatever the problem is. And he knows that you may be ready for the next place, but he's preparing the place for you.
Mm-hmm.
So we can't get ahead of God, because sometimes we get in a rush or we
mm-hmm.
upset with where we are and like, I got to get out of here. But again, surrenderance looks like, not my will, Lord, your will. Not my timing, Lord, your
your timing, because you can see the whole picture where I can only see this part.
Right.
So you have to know how to let things go. You know how you have to learn how, like they said, you got to give it to God daily. That got to be a daily prayer where you're like, Lord, this thing that is still in the back of my mind, is still the enemy wants to bring it to my remembrance. Lord, every time it comes up, I'm going to praise you instead. I'm going to thank you for delivering and thank you for taking this from me so that I can be free and that I can continue to be at peace. And when it's time for me to move, I'm not waiting until I get it to praise you.
I'm praising you now. I'm already thanking you. I'm not going. I think it's the same idea of, if I'm ready now, I don't have to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm praising now, then I don't just have to start praising once. I'm already praising. Yes. I'm already thinking. I'm already in the thing. I'm already excited. Regardless of whether it goes my way or it doesn't, I know God is in it and he's working it out. I think a part of surrendering and finding that peace is, here's the thing, and I found that I do this myself. Don't complain. Watch your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Watch what you let come out of your mouth, but also know this, just because it's not coming out your mouth don't mean it's not in here.
Mm-hmm.
So you also have to be careful of the thoughts that you entertain too long, because eventually those thoughts will start to compile up and they will come out your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And the Lord knows your heart, as we like to say.
Mm-hmm.
He really does, and he hears those complaints even if you don't verbally say them. And what Bree said, every time it comes to your mind, instead of us being in a place of frustration or discontentment, or you're angry, or you're looking at the other person, well, how come they got this? Because we do that too.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing that, like she said, every time it hits you, let me praise. Let me pray. You don't have to praise or pray in a way that you see people do on TV or in your church. Do it in your own way, in your genuine way. Take you on your break. Go out to your car. Go to the bathroom. And, Lord, this is bothering me, but I'm going to give it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to keep holding this. I don't want this to simmer and bubble in me. I need to give this back to you. And be open and honest with God about whatever it is that you're feeling. He already knows. But tell him.
Mm-hmm.
And further establish and develop your relationship and the intimacy with God. And watch him work.
That's beautiful. It's just finding a way to place, like they said, place your burdens at God's feet. And what it looks like is, it's just letting go.
Mm-hmm.
Just letting the control go.
Mm-hmm.
Letting the fear go and just saying, you got it better than I can.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I agree with everything that y'all said, because it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of times people talk about Christianity, or they talk about going to church like this is an easy journey. It's not an easy journey.
Mm-hmm.
They make it seem like, oh, once you get saved, we're going to heaven and it's going to be great. We're going to get blessings. And that's great. And God will bless you. But it takes faith.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a lot of believing in something that you cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
It's like God makes promises and he'll speak to you. And you're like, okay, I see that. I see that. Okay, God, I'm excited. And it's like, that year gone by. I'm excited, Lord. I'm still trying to hold on. It's like knowing that it may not happen in your timing,
mm-hmm.
and trusting that God's timing is best, knowing that you don't have all the answers, and knowing that it's okay that you don't.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times we're put in positions where we're expected to know everything. People
mm-hmm.
think you should know everything. If they ask you a question, you're supposed to roll it off the tip of your tongue in 1 second, and it's not that way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to know everything. That's what God is for.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that you can
mm-hmm.
bring it to
everything.
Him
mm-hmm.
and just letting go, like having faith to say, God, I don't know it, but you know it.
Mm-hmm.
God, this is hurting me, but only you can heal it. God, I don't know what to do, but you can help me and
mm-hmm.
you can guide me. And just trust that if you believe in him, that he will show you a way. And if you don't
mm-hmm.
see it, that he can bring somebody in your path to help lead you the right way if you can't do it.
That it reminds me of a reel I saw on Instagram. The girl, she was trusting God, and she was actively crying, and I mean sobbing. But in her sob, she kept saying, but I'm going to trust you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's that.
Mm-hmm.
It's the, this hurts, and this don't feel good, but I'm going to trust you, because I know all things will work out for my good. It ain't good right now,
yes,
but it's going to get there.
Yeah. All right. Well, but lovely, lovely, wonderful points. And through this, our hope is that you found some encouragement,
you found some understanding, and maybe even questions have been answered. And again, our biggest thing is that you pray. If you feel like you haven't quite gotten that community yet, take it to God. Mm-hmm. Place it at his feet, just like they said, and allow God to pick those people, because the people he pick, baby, there is love, there is hope, there is accountability, and there's also power in community.
And friendship
mm-hmm. all together. So the biggest thing, if you're a new believer, if you haven't quite made it on over, is that you really seek God. And if you feel him tugging at your heart, don't run from it. Don't be like us. But please understand that though there may be some tough times, God will supply you with the people that will be able to help carry the burdens. They'll help share the load. They'll help provide the wisdom that when you're walking in the wrong way or the wrong direction, they can help steer you back. So we're going to go ahead and close it on out. This has been another episode of Kingdom Chats. Again, I'm your host, Bree.
I'm Deja.
I'm Niecy.
All right, we love you, and we pray God blesses you. Bye.